Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
And because of my father, between the ages 7 through 15, I thought my name was Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ! And my brother Russell thought his name was Dammit. Dammit, will you stop all that noise? Jesus Christ, sit down! So one day I'm out playing in the rain. My father said, damn it, will you get in here? I said, Dad, I'm Jesus Christ.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. If you can't find him on Facebook, it's because he's got a paper bag over his head. Here he is, Mike Novak.
And happy Father's Day to all you dads out there, like Mike Sanders, who, because he was such a good dad. See, this is the danger of being a father. Mike Sanders threw out his back a couple of weeks ago because he was playing with his kid.
Yep.
That's a lesson to you.
It's dangerous. Let,
just, you know, open the door, push him out. Side and say, I'll see you when the streetlights come on.
Right. You can't do that anymore. That's frowned upon.
You know what?
Well, you got to have the big high security fence and be kind of watching out of the corner of your eye the whole time.
And you gotta wrap up your kids in gaffer's tape and helmets and knee pads.
I only wrap them up in gaffer tape and tie him to the ceiling fan when he's bad. I'm kidding. You looked half serious there for a second. But I've wanted to gaff tape him to the fan, I'll tell you what. I've wanted to. I never have.
My friend, Greg Exidy, by the way, is calling me. Let's have you talk.
Oh.
Hey, Greg, I would, you know, and I got my cell phone. It's vibrating here. And I can't even listen to you, Greg, because I'm on the air. But I'm going to hand this over to Heather, and she's going to talk to you for a second.
Oh, lovely.
Greg Exidy from Bobex is going to be on the show today. He's just one of the many things. We'll be talking critter control. As a matter of fact, if you're listening right now and you've been having trouble with rabbits or with deer, that kind of thing, give us a call, 773-838-WCPT, 773-838-9278, and we'll do what we can to help. This is a guy who's got a lot of experience with this sort of thing. Oh, sorry. Yes?
Greg's excited. He wants to be on the show.
He's excited?
He's excited.
Okay.
Well, it was not a little after 9, and I think he had it in his head that you were going to call, like, right at 9 in the morning.
Oh, he was already panicking.
Yeah. But we're all good. At least he wants to be on the show. That's always a good thing.
That's better than most.
Yeah, and Bob X is good stuff.
It is. I remember last year when I had Colleen Lakovich, who was the chief cook and bottle washer for the Lurie Garden at Millennium Park, and she said, oh, yeah, I use Bob X all the time because they have rabbits like crazy.
Yeah.
They got rabbit problems.
I had a friend who had bugs eating the leaves on his tomato plants. They were definitely bugs, like small gnat-like-esque bugs.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you need Captain Jack's dead bug brew.
Arr.
From Bobex.
And other stuff. You know, there's lots of non-synthetic, organic stuff that you can use. Espoma has a line of products. Remember when Jennifer Brennan was on and she talked about, I believe it was the pink bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Get the pink bottle.
The thing that matters most to me is that when it runs off into the soil, that it's not going to have long-term damage.
Because
mm-hmm. that's the thing people don't think about. They just think of, you know, things peripherally. Like, I've got bugs on my plants. Okay, the bugs are gone. I'm happy. But they're not realizing that they've just poisoned their garden for the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Yeah, it's a collateral damage is what we call it.
Yeah.
Later in the show, also, you know what's weird is you're starting to talk like a gardener now. You know, after...
Damn you, Michael Novak.
I know. It's a curse.
No, I've always been a tree hugger, if you will. I was in the environmental group in high school, and
Environmental Club.
It was called PCC, with a Pollution Control Center. That was our name. And we met every week, and I made board in 3 months. And it usually takes kids volunteering with the club for a year to make
board. To make...
Like the chair, the CEO of the club, if you will, the board.
I'm sure you just wandered into the meeting and said, I'm taking over.
Yeah. I had the personality. They really liked my personality.
Mm-hmm.
How do we like you? You can talk to anybody. So I was part of the group that was gung-ho about getting the recycling bins distributed properly.
Could you try it here at the radio station?
I've succeeded in the suburbs.
By the way,
the city.
I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that is going to get posted real soon on Facebook for the Chicago Recycling Coalition, of which I am the president, is an effort we are starting to get people to write to their aldermen and to city officials if you want real recycling in Chicago to finish the rollout of the Blue Cart program. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, Alderman Tom Allen was, in a hearing, proposed an order that would finish the job. There's been a lot of talk in the last couple of weeks in city council, in the media about this. And usually what happens at this point is things die down and then nothing happens. Although the city is now floating the idea that, they want to privatize recycling in the city of Chicago. If you haven't seen that, go to Chicago Recycling Coalition website, www.chicagorecycling.org, and there's a list of articles that have made the papers and blog sites in the past couple of weeks about this. My feeling is the city's floating this because, I don't know, to get the pressure off, maybe they really will do it. And we know how well privatization worked for the parking meters.
God.
So why not do it for the recycling?
But
actually, it might be a good thing. You know, before I...
At least it would be getting done, but
what is the cost?
There will be one.
You know, and it's hard for me to sit here and say, no, don't do it because we need to have recycling in the city. I say no, don't do it if it's a bad deal. Anyway, but go to chicagorecycling.org for more information about that, and write your alderman, write your city official, and say, I want recycling. I want Blue Cart in my neighborhood.
Here's a curious question. If they're not aware who their alderman is, how easy is it to find out?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? What we should do is add the. You know, I assume you know who your alderman is, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah,
I know, and I know that if you go to the City of Chicago website, you could probably type in.
I think if you Google findanalderman.org, you might have might work. Let me try.
I know there are. There's a search engine someplace. What I would go is go to cityofchicago.org, and look that up, and. And I'm sure they have an alderman finder. Find your alderman.
Find your alderman.
Because we can't find your alderman, so maybe you could. Later today also, this is contest winner day. It is, we're announcing the winner of the big ultimate backyard makeover. Did you catch Mighty House last week when we
when you had all your
we had all the three finalists.
I loved it because it sounded like each time it sounded like their house was sinking into the backyard, but, and it was so entertaining.
But we made them jump through hoops of fire.
You did.
We were brutal.
I felt a little bad for them.
These cynical old men. No. You know, for $20,000, you can $20,000 makeover. You can put up with a little abuse.
Yeah.
I think it was all in good fun anyway. It was all in good fun.
Yeah. And, it's very easy to find your alderman.
I just went on the site now, ChicagoProgressiveTalk.com. It says, thank you for voting, which means the tallies are in. I have no idea who won.
Yeah, no, I don't know either.
So we will find out on Mighty House right after 10 a.m. this morning who the winner of the huge Ultimate Backyard Makeover contest.
It was very hush-hushed in the office. Like, it was, like, behind closed doors. Like,
well, but there was voting until yesterday.
Yeah.
So they couldn't have known who was going to win. From what I understand, it was pretty close as of Friday.
Yeah.
So
that's what I think they were hush-hush about.
We will announce that at just after 10 o'clock on the Mighty House show following.
It's very easy to find your alderman on cityofchicago.org, by the way. Very easy.
What do you do?
Well, you can just, like, go on the homepage, and there's a little thing that says, you know, keywords. I typed in the word alderman. You can either get a complete list or launch a search engine.
There you go.
So it's real easy.
Even if you don't know what ward you live in. You can find out.
And you can get their contact info like that.
Also on the program today, you might remember Sita's My Backyard Garden, Keeping It Fresh, where teens were encouraged to write their essays on the value of urban agriculture. We've got the contest winners on the show today, and they're going to be involved in putting a garden together near the Gary Comer Youth Center on the south side. And we'll talk to the kids who won that contest. Artesia Home Visions, Lenny Kozlowskis is in the studio. I guess he's going to be on my show and Mighty House, and they're one of the great sponsors of the Backyard Makeover contest. I guess Leah, intrepid reporter Leah Petrusiak, may be at a farmer's market this morning?
Yes, yes. Her last message to me before going into the fray was she'll be at Beverly Farmers Market. She intended to go to the Logan Square one, I believe, as well, but that one doesn't start until 10.
They should know better. If they want to be on the Mike Novak show, they got to open up.
Aren't farmers up at, like, dawn? Don't, like, the rooster crow at dawn?
10 seems a little...
That's late for a farmer's market.
It sure does.
You know?
I don't know why, but I was passing by. They were setting up as I was leaving, going through Logan Square this morning. All right. In a second, let's get Greg Exidy on the phone, and we will talk critter control. Like I said, if you got a question, 773-838-9278. The Chicago River has come a long way in a century and a half, from prairie stream to open sewer to a destination slice of nature in the heart of downtown. People are returning to the river. So are a variety of aquatic wildlife, though not without some coaxing. Learn about what's happening to create wildlife habitat along the Chicago River at the 6th annual Chicago River Summit this Friday, June 25th, hosted by Friends of the Chicago River and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. The summit theme is, quote, from fish hotels to forest preserves, habitat solutions in an urban environment. Now, you hear the word fish hotel, you got to be talking about Friends of the Chicago River and WRD Environmental. Now, WRD Environmental, which created the first ever fish hotel, an award-winning, self-contained floating fish habitat on the Chicago River, is sponsoring the event. Learn more about the summit at chicagoriver.org and learn more about WRD's sustainable landscape and fishscape solutions at WRD.com. Do you know about probiotics? There's only one company that is providing this for your plants, and that's Dr. Earth. Probiotics is a soil inoculant that consists of several species of soil bacteria and mycorrhizal fungi that, simply put, bring life to your soil. Of course, as a gardener, you're interested in results, and that's what you get from Dr. Earth's organic soils, blended organic fertilizers, lawn food, organic insecticides and fungicides, and more. Find out what probiotics can do for your garden. Dr. Earth is available only at your local independent garden center. You can go to DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you. We're jumping and jiving on the Mike Novak Show.
I love swing jazz. Love it.
It's
new
cool
and old.
Stuff. Yeah, the swing stuff that was it was really big in the 90s.
It had a resurgence.
Yeah, but you know, it got fused kind of with a rockabilly kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not complaining about. I'm okay with that.
I thought it was pretty cool too.
Yeah.
I got a couple of CDs with this kind of, and of course, it's a tribute to Dads Everywhere. Go Daddy Go.
You got it.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM, and we go to line one. Way out east to the state of New York, and Greg Exidy. How you doing, Greg?
Good morning, Mike. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you. You know, you're the only Exidy, and it's spelled E-C-S-E-D-Y. What is that name all about?
It's a Hungarian name. That's way back from there. You know, they came over on a boat just before World War I, my father's ancestors.
Uh-huh.
His family came over, yep.
And began scaring deer immediately, right?
Exactly. He led off the boat. You got it. Right from Ellis Island.
Greg is the guy behind Bobex, and you can go to bobex.com. What kind of a deer year has it been out east? I talked to one of your co-workers, Brian, the other day. He says, he was telling me the deer are everywhere. Is that they're even in the city? That they, you know, what are they doing? Walking down Main Street? How bad?
Pretty much. You'll see them almost everywhere. Maybe not the downtown Chicago area, but all throughout Chicago and all throughout the country, they're getting to be more and more prevalent.
Really, are the deer populations continuing to increase?
Yes, I believe they have been. Even with deer hunting, culling programs, basically we pushed their environment out of the way, and we've improved their environment by bringing in suburban sprawl. So we brought the forest, the canopy down from the treetops down to the ground level, and you're planting candy. You're planting the tulips and hostas and arborvitae. So you're really giving them a pretty good habitat to thrive.
Hmm. It is almost like serving it up. You might as well put napkins out there, eh?
Exactly. A little tablecloth, you know, candles and stuff. It's a pretty good buffet. If you're going to be out there, you're going to be putting plants down. And you know, you got to have some protection if you got to buy the plants.
Mm-hmm.
The other problem, though, is you know the garden centers are selling deer-resistant plants. Well, that's not a fine line. That's a gray area. Tends to be is the phrase should be used.
Well, you're right that if a deer is hungry enough, if a rabbit is hungry enough, they'll eat anything. I say that all the time.
They're hungry. Yep.
But there are plants out there, and you can find these lists online. You go online and you type deer resistant plant or mm-hmm. rabbit resistant plant, and they'll give you stuff that they would prefer not to eat, like an allium, you know, a wild onion, because like us it has a pretty strong flavor, and so do they, and they'd rather get something that's a little tastier.
Yep, exactly. You know, we tend to like steaks or lobster, and then we'll go down, you know, they have the same type of diet, you know, mm-hmm. they have preferences, and then they'll wean them way down to the least favorite. And we've heard stories of all kinds of things that they eat that no one's ever heard of eating.
So, really?
Yep.
So
from boxwoods, even daffodils. So
Now daffodils are supposed to be one of the things that critters just don't eat.
They're toxic. They're poisonous. Yep.
But
we've heard stories. Yep.
Wow. So there you go. So end of story. We're done. Our gardens are cooked, right?
No. There is salvation out there. There's many things you can do, but there's no one simple solution. From planting deer-resistant plants to fencing to spraying with sprays like ours. There are different options out there.
You know, that's,
everything has good points and bad points, though.
Yeah, and I'm so glad to hear you say that. It's one of the reasons that I like having you on as an advertiser on the show, because not only do you know your stuff, and but you're not afraid to be truthful and say, mm-hmm. you know what, my product alone might not work. And I say that to other folks. I say in the garden talks, you got to mix up your strategies. It's a matter of different things. And then, still, you might lose some plants.
Yep. It also depends on your property, too. You may not set up for fencing. It may be way too hard for you to fence and to maintain that fence. And then the other thing is maybe, you know, culling, you might be having a hunter come in, an archer come in, and sit in your trees and shoot an arrow downward. That may not be an option, too, because you may be too much in an urban area.
Mm-hmm.
So location is important in determining your defensive strategies too.
Well, my location is smack in the middle of the city, and I don't have I don't have deer problems here in Chicago. All right, but there are people in the middle of the city who have terrific, terrible rabbit problems.
Uh-huh.
Now, how do you come up with a formula that you know is going to work for deer, and then a different formula that is going to work for rabbits? Is it just trial and error?
There was quite a bit of trial and error in the beginning. What it comes down to is we stick close to the knitting, meaning that you don't see a lot of different formulas of Vobex out there. What we try to do is we pick something and we try to stick with it, and we know it works. We're not the snake oil salesman. What we try to do is we know we're only going after herbivores, okay? And herbivores don't like proteins, and that's the basis of Vobex. It's a protein-based material. We're not organic, but we're very, very natural, and our product breaks down naturally and is good for the plants.
Okay.
But then the rabbits and groundhogs have a coarser sense of smell and taste.
Mm-hmm.
They have a smaller olfactory system. So we have beefed up the product, and we've added some extra ingredients into it that are known to be distasteful to herbivores.
Well, I've seen some of the products you put in there, and a lot of them are kind of standard. You know, there's mm-hmm. garlics and what?
Eggs and garlic are pretty much the standard for everything.
They're putrescent eggs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do the clove thing at all?
Yeah, we do the clove. So we've got the three basics there, the ABCs, let's say, of repellency. But then what we do is we add in some fish oil as our adhesive agent. That makes the product stick, and if you give us enough dry time, we'll last through rains and irrigation and spraying.
But that's always the knock on these products, is that they're not going to survive a rain. Now, is that something that you're willing to stake your reputation on, that your product can outlast a rain?
We will last, on the base of the plant, we'll last 2 months. But every plant grows. And the problem, the downside to liquid sprays are that you have to keep up with that new growth.
Mm-hmm.
So every 2 inches of growth, every 10 to 14 days, depending upon the rapidity of growth, it's probably good every 10 to 14 days from now until, let's say, the middle of July. And then you want to stretch it out to about once a month with our product.
I see you even have you said you don't have a whole lot of different products, not a vast line, but you've got one for Canada goose control?
Yeah, what we're trying to do is get the geese not to eat on the lawns. It's not the fact that they're in the lawns or that they're eating the lawns. It's what they leave behind is the problem.
Yeah.
And if you can keep them from eating on the lawns, they're going to leave because they have to continuously feed. So if you can just taste the lawn, make it solid and milk for the baby, they're going to find someplace else to eat.
Hmm.
That's the whole theory behind it.
So that's a lawn product versus some of the other products that you have that are for shrubs and perennials.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So where are you this morning? You're at a show up in upstate New York, is that it?
Yep, just outside of Lake George, doing a show here with a small distributor and stuff, but enjoying the weekend with my family. I brought them up with me for Father's Day.
Trying out critter control on the family, which is...
Exactly.
I know you wouldn't do that, Greg. That's Greg Exidy from Vobex. You can go to Vobex.com.
Make sure they spell it right. B-O-B-B-E-X.
That's right. Got to make sure because nobody ever spells Exidy right. So you want to make sure that you want to make sure Bobex gets spelled right. B-O-B-B-E-X. Yes, Heather?
I was just going to say write it on Michael Nowak.
Yeah, exactly. Just as nobody ever spells my name right for some reason.
Or says it right.
Greg, always a pleasure to have you on the show. And good luck. And, you know, when the deer get out of control on the East Coast, give me a warning. I don't know that I can do anything about it, but you can move into the middle of Chicago with me and hide out.
The rabbits will come get you.
Yeah, they will. Greg, take care. Have a great day now.
Thanks, Mike. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
SIDS announces their big tree event going on now through June 26. Right now is the time to choose from the season's best selection of trees and shrubs. Most are 20% off. Plus, SIDS is offering free local delivery of tree purchases of $200 and up. That's a $50 value. SIDS Nursery Yard is well-stocked with Japanese maples, flowering crabs, dwarf lilacs, plus locusts, maples, lindens, and more. And these are not those scrawny trees you may have seen elsewhere. Oh, no. Au contraire. SIDS stocks 2- and 3-inch trunk diameter trees that'll look like they've been there for years. And once you plant that new tree, you'll be all set for a barbecue in the glorious shade it offers. So while you're there, check out SIDS' great selection of Weber one-touch charcoal grills, now on sale. Plus, you'll get a free bag of Cowboy Hardwood Lump Charcoal with every purchase now through June 27th. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard and on the web, of course, at SIDSonline.com.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
You're trying to spell meteorologist?
I can't. I have only had one cup of coffee. I'm not fully functional yet.
Okay.
So but it looks like meteorologist, and I know that's wrong. So dictionary.com is my new friend.
It's always been my friend. You know,
I'm
the problem is
fair. But I just type too fast.
The problem is if you're not even close to spelling it correctly, you can't go to dictionary.com because it just goes Hey, don't have room to raise cows or chickens? Well, your soil can still benefit from their waste. No picking up poop required. If you pick up some of Back to Nature's composted cattle manure and composted chicken manure, animal manures are good because they add organic matter to help rejuvenate soils. They improve soil aeration and the breakdown of plant residue, and they increase water distribution in clay soils and help reduce compaction. Great for Chicagoland soil. Now, a lot of that has to do with the cotton burrs in Back to Nature cotton burr compost products. And these composts have been leached to reduce salt content, but still have high nutrient levels. Back to Nature has been composting since 1979, and they are the largest producers of composted cotton burrs and composted cattle manure in the southwestern United States, and they've come to the Chicago area where you need to take advantage of it. Find out more about their fine products, including Rose Bed Amendment and Flower Bed Conditioner, by going to backtonaturecompost.com. Dr. Wally at Pesci's and I both love them, so give them a try. Back to Nature products are available at May Garden Center in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, Countryside Garden Center in Crystal Lake, and Paradigm Gardens in Lake Geneva. I'm going to make that the official intro for Rick DeMaio Weather.
That's the best weather intro ever.
What is that supposed to represent?
I don't know, but you're a papa. And
it's funky.
It's, yeah, and you're funky. So
yeah,
just like the Chicago weather.
Yeah. There's a segue. See, Heather's been working. She writes these segues down all week.
Oh, yeah.
Thinks of how to come up with them.
Wow, that took hours, I'm sure.
I know. I
like the Chicago weather.
Yeah.
Let's see, that's used in January, February, March.
I usually call Chicagoland weather schizophrenic.
Yeah, it is pretty much.
Yeah.
But you know what? Everybody likes to say that about where they live in the country. I've been to other parts of the country, and they always say, well, if you don't like the weather now, just wait five minutes. And really, it's true everywhere.
Yeah.
But I think, fair to what Heather says, Mike, obviously when you have a metropolitan area the size of Chicago, nearly 3 million people in the city and probably an additional 3.5 million people in the metropolitan area, when you have a squall line like the one that went through Friday goes through the area between 4 and 6 o'clock, and just about everybody sees it, just about everybody talks about it, and the 8-inch diameter tree that fell on your car bumper
oh my gosh,
Friday afternoon, when you talk about it to your aunt in New Jersey, becomes a 10-inch tree that fell on the trunk of the car, and then when Aunt Mildred in New Jersey talks to Uncle Joe in Pennsylvania, and all of a sudden it becomes a 20-inch tree that put a hole in the roof of your car,
Right.
These stories tend to magnify. But
And why is it that the tree you want to fall down in the storm never does?
Because God hates you, Mike Novak.
Because that mulberry, the mulberry at the corner lot that is already collapsing on my block, I keep thinking, come on, all we need is one good gust, and that sucker's down. But
oddly enough, Mike, even though there were a lot of large limbs and branches that came down, there wasn't really a lot of large trees. I don't think the wind was really powerful in one particular place. This was a fast-moving system. When you tend to get these long, drawn-out, massive thunderstorms with like 60, 70, 80-mile-per-hour winds, preceded by a tremendous amount of rain like we had back in August of 2007, when the ground was pretty much saturated, you had a lot of trees that came down with that particular event. The ground was so soft.
Mm-hmm.
This particular event, it didn't really have as many, and because I think the spring season has been such a healthy one, even the trees that probably were somewhat weak or damaged heading into the, or diseased rather, heading into the spring season, were still able to maintain their integrity. So even though we did get a lot of trees damaged, tree damage and some power lines come down, on a scale of 1 to 10, not to minimize the damage that did occur, it was probably about a 7. There was some students who were asking me, how bad was this? I know up here in Rogers Park in the Evanston area, the winds were about maybe 50 miles per hour. Hardly anything in the way of tornadoes or hail came through. You don't normally get hail when you have systems like this because the atmosphere is so warm. And the hail is usually way in the back of the storm because everything is moving so fast. But
I'll tell you, I was about 3 o'clock on Friday, was doing some work on the computer and went to the radar to take a look, and it was pointed at Chicago, kind of like an arrow.
Right, yeah, that's why they call it a bow echo.
Yeah, that bow echo coming, and I thought, wow, this is going to be nasty. And and you're right, it was pretty severe, but it didn't
do as much. It was just like, bam!
Yeah,
it was,
what scared me more was a couple hours later when it started to really pour.
Yeah, we saw the roll cloud. We were outside. We were at a family party, and we were outside in the back, and you could see the total roll cloud.
Right.
It was unbelievable. And everyone's like, what is that? And I was like, that's the roll cloud. That's the front of the front. It's going to rain really hard soon. And before, like, those words left my mouth, we were running for shelter because it started pouring.
Yeah, it's funny when you describe that, Heather, you go into, like, a different tone of voice. You go, well, that's the roll cloud.
Right.
That's because that's the way meteorologists talk.
No, because they call me... My dad, they named Bullwinkle for being Mr. Know-It-All. I'm Bullwinkle Jr. in the family.
That's fine. Now, for me, when that happens, I usually tell people, I go, okay, you have 20 minutes, sit on the couch, and I'll tell you the whole thing. They just want to say, just tell me what's going on. But, that was, and, we had not only one, but we had two. We had two different events. The second one came through with less wind,
lots of rain.
Yeah, a lot of rain, and, rainfall now up to about... 3.7 inches for the month. We're about an inch and a half above normal. Temperatures about 2.8 degrees above normal for the month. And, again, we head into, summer season. Summer, the solstice arrives 6:38 a.m. tomorrow morning. So today, officially, if you want to call it the last day of spring, but I like to call, and most climate experts like to call spring the period from March 1st to the end of May. And amazing numbers coming in, Mike. The period of May 2010 globally was the warmest ever. And this is when you consider both land and water.
Yeah, you sent me that NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, article about this. It's just give us a sense of what that means. In this period, the first half of the year, it's the warmest ever?
Well, I think what this really says, Mike, is all the people who said, oh, my gosh, it was cold and snowy in a small part of North America and Western Europe in a two-month period of time, all of a sudden that means that global warming is not happening. And this is so naive on these people part, you know, and the way they think, and I even have had emails with John Coleman. Do you remember John Coleman?
Yes.
He's a weathercaster in San Diego, and he has a blog called Coleman's Comments, and all he does is bash the numbers that NOAA puts out and global warming. And the other day I emailed him. I said, with all due respect, Mr. Coleman, can you please comment on this? And the first thing that came out of his mouth was, the numbers are skewed. NOAA continues to make these numbers more than what they are. I'm like, but you know what? If the numbers were cold, okay, he would be saying that the numbers are great. And I don't understand why he continues to politicize this, because I've actually YouTubed a couple of his weathercasts, and he says, we've had the coldest May in Southern California in 20 years. Now, look at all the snow. So blah, blah, blah to those people who talk about global warming. But he's doing the same thing when these numbers come out that are purely scientific, that points to the fact that the temperatures are much warmer. So I just don't understand why people have to be so anti-science when it comes to numbers that are purely scientific. So with that said, May 2010, 1.24 degrees above the long-term average, which goes all the way back to 1880. This is for land and water combined. 1.87 degrees Fahrenheit above average for just land. So you have to really break it down for land and water. And for the oceans, we're about a degree above the long-term average. We're the second warmest there. Oddly enough, the water is in the South Atlantic. This is the area stretching from, we'll say, the central part of the Gulf of Mexico through the Caribbean to about, say, the Azores. That area is about 2.5 degrees above normal, which is not good when you consider the fact that we're just beginning to head into the hurricane season. And when that area of the oceans are above normal temperature-wise, usually that means you have a much, much greater chance of developing tropical storms and hurricanes. Now, it's one thing to develop them. It's another to have them move and to sustain their intensity and integrity over a long period of time. So then you have to look at the Pacific Ocean, because last year, the ocean waters in the eastern Pacific off the coast of South America northward to about the, I'd say about 10 degrees north latitude, were very warm. And that's when you talk about El Nino. And usually when that happens, you have large-scale masses of thunderstorms. It tends to intensify the subtropical jet stream. And when that happens, any storms that develop in the Atlantic and try to move westward underneath what we call the low-level trade winds, when these strong upper-level winds come in from the Pacific Ocean across Central America, they tend to basically shear off the top of these storms and don't allow the storms to move north and westward. However, there's been the quickest demise in the last 12 years of these warm waters in the Pacific. They've now reversed themselves to cooler waters, and now, believe it or not, we're into at least a weak developing La Nina pattern across the Pacific Ocean. So when you have weak upper-level winds due to the fact that you have La Nina in the Pacific and you have all this warm water in the Gulf of Mexico and the South Atlantic, you basically have not only the ingredients for a large campfire, but you have the ingredients for this campfire to remain active and move for a long period of time. So essentially we have not only the beginning of a wildfire, but the fuel to feed it. And to put it into, a public perception of how this upcoming hurricane and tropical storm season could be, it might actually be even worse than what the experts said it was going to be about a month or so ago. So, again, you know, it brings back the fact that even though you had cold and snowy conditions for a period of time in wintertime, you still can't look beyond the fact that the overall long-term, large-scale pattern globally and from a standpoint of land and ocean might continue to warm.
Take that, John Coleman.
Yeah.
No, that's very interesting. The metaphor you're using, which is, you know, which is the opposite of water. You're using the fire metaphor, but you're saying the setup is really good right now for a very intense hurricane season. And I keep thinking, you know, you start sucking up all this oil into a hurricane. We've never had anything like that before.
And again, I think we have to be real careful on using the word intense. Intense people automatically say Cat 4s and Cat 5s. I think the better word is to say active.
Okay.
Because you can have 20 tropical storms and not one hurricane. You may have three hurricanes, or like we had back in 1992, we had five hurricanes. Only one of them was major, and that name was Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the first one of the year, and it was late August. So everybody remembers Andrew in 1992. In 1992, they go, oh, that was a terrible hurricane season. You look back, and it's like, no, there was nothing. We had one major hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, when you bring in the fact that there's oil across the Gulf of Mexico, I don't think we truly know how a hurricane could be affected by the oil over the ocean. My first reaction is probably not much, because most storms in the middle of the hurricane season don't form in the northern Gulf. That's where the oil is. However, if you do end up bringing a 20-foot storm surge with all that oil along the shoreline, and you bring it about 5 miles inland, like we did with Katrina, and we did with Rita, and we did with Wilma, and we did with Ike, I think you begin to see the consequences to be much greater than anybody really thought about.
Yeah, I think I just keep thinking that there's something that folks aren't thinking of that could happen with this.
Could it, in theory, literally rain oil?
I think it could rain anything as long as it's light enough. Heather, I've seen, you know, I've heard reports about, you know, frogs getting sucked up in a tornado and being pulled, you know, eventually being dropped down to the surface.
But it's going
to
rain frogs?
That would rule.
but yeah, I think the bottom line is any substance that is light enough, and I think we all know that oil is very, very heavy, but any oil, any substance that is light enough that could adhere to, you know, the outside of a water droplet, yeah, sure. I don't know if the raining part is really the problem here. I think it's more of the fact that when you have a dense substance on the surface of a water body that's being lifted by a storm surge and pushed inland, then you begin to question things a little bit on what the environmental impact could be. So I think that's the bigger issue there. I really do.
Well, let's do a quick forecast for the week before I let you go here.
Yeah, sure, Mike. Well, first off, I think if anybody's trying to get out and get some sun today, I think you missed the boat. I think the only people that are really going to enjoy the beaches today are our four-legged furry friends. I'm looking at it right now and see a bunch of dogs out there enjoying the water. And this is not a beach day. A lot of clouds moving in. A very, very active pattern, reminiscent, believe it or not, of 1995 when we had a very wet May, a very wet start to June, and a very hot air mass across the southern plains. It's pretty much setting up basically for the Rocky Mountains to the Appalachians. So we had gorgeous weather yesterday. We had temperatures top out at 85 so far, 3 days above 90 this year. We had four last year. I don't think we're going to see 90 anytime soon, mainly because of a lot of cloud cover. So we'll call it sunshine early this morning, pretty much over with. And then generally cloudy skies. Latest satellite imagery shows a massive amount of clouds all the way from Chicago pretty much to about Nebraska. And I have to say the next day that we're going to actually see a sunny day around here is not until Thursday.
Mm.
So clouds today, probably a couple of sprinkles already moving through the western suburbs. Those should dissipate. And then we'll redevelop some off-and-on showers and a couple of isolated thunderstorms late this afternoon. But because the pattern is so cloudy and the surface pattern is so muddled, I don't think we're going to see any massive severe weather outbreaks like we did on Friday. So off-and-on showers and isolated thunderstorms between now, believe it or not, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, before it finally clears out of here on Thursday. And if anybody wants to do any watering outside today, don't, because you're not going to need to. It looks like, Mike, we can end up with somewhere between 2 and 4 inches of rain between now and probably Wednesday night into Thursday morning. So a very wet pattern. Temperatures probably upper 70s today at best, and then probably staying somewhere between about 78 and like 83 for afternoon hunting over the next 3 days.
Works for me. I like that.
Yeah,
that's
good.
It's
kind of nice. I think people who are finally getting some time to be outside would like it to be a little bit nicer. But if you can get the bookends right, like we had yesterday afternoon, it was a gorgeous afternoon. At least you get one day out of the weekend in a wet pattern. I think at least we hit it right.
Can I get my lawn mowed today? Do you think?
Yeah, as long as you get out between now and probably when does the first hole of the U.S. Open start, Mike?
Well, it'll be on about 3:30, I think.
About 3:30. So the nice thing is that we'll be inside with clouds and rain this afternoon, watching them finish up golf at about 6 o'clock Chicago time.
Finishing golf, it goes to like 10 o'clock at night here. Because
I'd rather watch paint dry than golf.
Well, it's the U.S. Open.
Yeah,
okay.
You know what it is, Heather? When you look at that course, and I've been out there, I haven't played it, but Pebble Beach, my God. I don't know if you noticed yesterday, but
I've been hanging around with Mike too long. I'm thinking, that's fraught with chemicals, you creeps.
No, well, don't think about it that way. Don't think about it that
well,
way.
Well, it is, but...
Did you see the shot that they showed of the mama deer with the two babies running across
the
golf course?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that to me is heaven. When you can play with the seagulls and the sea lions.
Yeah, but
the groundskeepers
are thinking the deer are going to eat all of our shrubs.
They spray paint those greens. No.
You know, that's why. You know, I had the Bobex guy on earlier, and I'm thinking, I saw the deer. I went, oh yeah, yeah, we could spray some of that stuff.
You should carry it in your golf bag.
Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah, but
that'll go till like 10 o'clock
to
tonight.
Open, Mike.
What's that?
I said good weather to watch the U.S.
Well,
open.
I want to just get the lawn mowed too. I got this tiny little patch of, you know, turf
know.
In the back. Very
all
little.
Natural.
Yeah, I don't put anything on that. So, you know, it's got its clover. It's got a couple of dandelions. I don't care.
I'm a violet girl. The lawns we all have violets in our lawn.
And next week, Mike, when you'll be talking to me, it'll be from Madison, Wisconsin. I'll be up there for my 25th college reunion. So,
oh, cool. What?
Is that all? Just 25?
Yeah.
I thought it was, okay.
You don't have to mop up anymore, my friend.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you from Wisconsin next week. That's Rick DeMaio. You can go to DeMaioWeather.com or go to the homepage of my website, MikeNovak.net, and always get accurate and, it's scientific information from this guy. He knows of what he speaks.
Nothing skewed.
I will talk to you next week, buddy.
Happy Father's Day, Rick.
Yeah, thanks, Heather.
Bye-bye. Here's a tip from the care of trees. I still do a little bit of landscape advising, and I told you a few weeks ago that I was working on a client's yard with the care of trees. They met me at the site this past week, and we discussed the recommendations that we had agreed on a couple of weeks ago. Then they went to work trimming a honey locust that was a little too overgrown for its small city lot. Working together, we trimmed the tree limb by limb, and at the end of the day, unless you were really paying attention, you would never know that the tree had been pruned at all. Isn't that what you want from a tree care company? Why wouldn't you make the care of trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape? Invite the certified arborist at the care of trees to take a look. You know, they were really efficient. It was just, it was my buddy Sean Kingzett was supervising, and Hector was up there in the tree and sawing and hanging on, and he had the safety, the hookup. It was so simple and neat and fun to watch. TheCareOfTrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. Now, I know that some of you are still scrambling to get your garden pots planted for the summer. Summer starts tomorrow, as Rick DeMaio just said. It's not too late at all if you're in that boat. Here's something that will make your life easier. The Espoma Company has been producing high-quality organic and natural products for more than 8 decades, and they just made growing beautiful plants in containers easier and organic. Introducing the new Espoma Organic Potting Mix. Espoma is the maker of Hollytone, Plantone, and other organic plant foods. If the word tone is in the name, you know it's made by Espoma. Now they make container gardening growing mixes. Espoma Organic Potting Mix is a blend of only the finest natural ingredients, and it's fortified with mycotone mycorrhizae. Mycotone promotes root growth and helps grow bigger, better plants with more blooms. Look for all of the new Espoma Organic Potting Mixes at your local garden center this spring or summer. since it starts tomorrow. Here's one more. New Espoma Growtone, the ideal liquid plant food for all potted plants. For more information about Espoma Natural Gardening Solutions, call 888-ESPOMA-1 or visit them online, espoma.com. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929.
Hello, gardeners. It's Ann from Neptune's Harvest Organic Fertilizers in Gloucester, Mass. If you're planting flowers, vegetables, shrubs, or just trying to keep your lawn healthy and green, then you should know about Neptune's Harvest. Neptune's Harvest fertilizers come from the mineral-rich North Atlantic Ocean, which contains all the nutrients plants and soil need. Flower growers, get your sunglasses out. You'll want to use them when you're looking at how bright those colors are. Vegetable growers, with Neptune's Harvest, you can achieve the amazing results you deserve for all your efforts. You'll have the most abundant, sweet-tasting supply of organically grown produce. And there's nothing like the taste of a fresh garden tomato you grew yourself. Neptune's Harvest works so great, whether you know what you're doing or not, you'll look good. And you'll feel good, because you're doing the right thing for the environment and your health. Try Neptune's Harvest products from the ocean to set your plants in motion. Available at your local garden center. And to learn more, go to neptunesharvest.com.
How do your tomatoes look? If they're off to a good start, you might want to enter Pesci's 2010 Tremendous Tomato Contest, sponsored by the Daily Herald. Every Sunday during the contest, Dr. Wally is sharing his own tremendous tomato tips on the, well, in the Daily Herald, and that's every week. You have to grow your own tomatoes, no cheating. To make sure, all entries must include a photo of the submitted tomato growing on the vine shortly before harvest. Then you bring it into Pesci's Garden Center for weighing. It's going to have to be at least 2 pounds before you can enter, because winning tomatoes will be determined by weight and size. They're looking bigger is better, is what they're saying. The contest ends Sunday, October 10th. You got some time to get some stuff growing. The tomato with the largest weight and size at the end of the business on that day will be declared the winner. First place is a $100 Pesci's gift card plus more than $100 worth of organic products at Pesci's. Second place is a $75 Pesci's gift card plus more than $75 worth of organic products. Pesci's Garden Center, family owned since 1924. Pesci's is just minutes off of 294 at 170 South River Road, one block north of Rand Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com.
Now, when I was a little boy, at the age of 5.
This is one of Heather's songs. She's ducked out of the room for a second, but, you know, it's not a dad song. It's a man song. Let us go to line two, and somebody who's not a man, Leah Petrusiak. How you doing, Leah?
Not a man, not a man, not a man, not a man.
You were, Leah, of course, always the intrepid reporter for the Mike Novak Show, and on location where? Because it was going to be Logan Square Garden.
It was going to be the Logan Square Market, but they start at 10. And so I had to do some Googling around, and I found out that Beverly Farmers Market down here on 95th, about 1800 West, started about 8. So here I am.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's in this little parking lot. There's maybe 6-7 vendors, but it's nice. There's a lot of people milling around, and it reminds me of the old market in Oak Park that I used to go to growing up. And so funny, because you were talking about tomatoes.
Yeah.
And one of the first vendors that caught my eye was, of course, the free sample one of the salsa and the hummus. And so we're going to talk with Salsas Vallarta. I swear, they have the spinach and feta cheese hummus. They have, like, 7 kinds of salsa laying out.
Uh-huh.
They have some tips for anybody who wants to take those tomatoes, turn them into some delicious salsa and some pineapples, some avocados. I'm going to talk to Chris, actually. Is it okay if I talk to your son?
Yeah,
And he's going to tell us about all these amazing salsas here, because I can't distinguish all of them. Here, dude.
Well, wait. Before we do that, Leah?
Yes.
You with me here?
I'm here.
Okay, we've only got about a minute left, so here's what I'm going to do. We're going to get back to you in the 9 o'clock hour, okay?
Sounds good.
And talk salsa, a little salsa recipe. I want you to investigate the rest of the market and tell me what's going on there. And we will continue this report. But I wanted to make sure that we got to you before the 9 o'clock news. You know, speaking of salsa, last year we had a broadcast called Rooted in Austin, and I found out there was a cactus salsa. There was the cactus was part of the recipe. So you're talking pineapple and other things. Let's find out what the most interesting ingredient we can get into a salsa might be.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
All right, that's Leah Petrusiak. She's on the south side at the Beverly Farmers Market. Where is it again?
We're about 1800 West 95th. It's at Longwood and 95th.
Okay, if you're in the area, stop on by and say hi to all the people selling their wares. We'll talk to you in a little bit, Leah.
Okay, sounds good.
Second hour, we've got winners from Sita's My Backyard, Keeping It Fresh. The kids who wrote the essays, we've got the ultimate backyard makeover winner on Mighty House. I hope you stick around for the second hour of the Mike Novak Show.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is, Mike Novak.
This is the best Dad's Day song right here. This is Papa Was a Rolling Stone. Heather's busy getting our contest winners from the Sita My Backyard Keeping It Fresh competition that we had. You know, and I made the mistake of trying to load up a PDF file on this computer. Someday they're going to get out of Adobe 6.
Stop being delirious.
You know,
I'm going to have to come over there and revive you again.
Can we update these computers? We got Adobe 6. You know, they're at like Adobe 9.3 now. And this is, and it takes like half an hour to download on this computer. Oh, well. Have we got everybody?
We got everybody.
We got them all here.
They're all good kids.
They are. All right. Let us, we're going to start on line two and bring in Taylor Ulmer. Taylor, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's good.
What are you doing this morning?
I'm actually at church right now. I stepped out for a second to see what kind of seat you got.
I'm pulling you out of church so you can do radio?
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Lord, please forgive me.
I am so proud of myself. Taylor is from Whitney Young High School, and she's one of the contest winners for My Backyard Garden, Keeping It Fresh. I read your essay, and it's very good. In fact, all of the essays were very good. In fact, let me go to line one. And Jose?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name. How is that pronounced?
Bagwandeen.
That's not so. It looks like Bagwandendeen. Is it? It's just Bagwandeen.
Yes.
Okay. Jose is from Carver Military Academy. Did I pull you out of church too?
No. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We pulled him out of bed. If I was on summer break, I would be there too.
And one more. Let us go to line three and bring in Celeste Campos. Did I pronounce that correctly, Celeste?
Yeah.
And also from Carver Military Academy. Now, are you in town, Celeste, or are you someplace else?
No, I'm in town.
You're in town. Okay. Rumor had it that you might be out on vacation, so I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get you on the show. I note that two of the winners of the competition, and the way it worked, you guys had to write a 500-word essay. It could be less than that, about gardening in an urban area and how important it is. And I want to congratulate all three of you because you did a fabulous job, all of you, in doing this. And congratulations to you. And I'll ask you one at a time. We'll start with you, Taylor. And if you need to duck back into church, you should let me know.
Okay.
I don't want to get you in trouble here with the Lord of all people. I love the way you started your essay, Taylor. It started seeds, 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 exclamation mark. Have you grown many seeds? No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I actually started a garden later April, I think. And I just planted a couple seeds just to see how they would grow. And they actually just came up. I just had my first salad yesterday, actually. And I picked some basil and put it, cooked with it. So, I mean, yeah. But I'm actually starting a community garden. And so seeds, very important. A lot of people don't know how to grow them or, you know, how to nurture them because they're used to buying, like, the already grown plants. So it's it should be, yeah.
So is the idea that you were going to start this community garden even before you entered this competition, or did this help you realize this this dream and this idea?
Actually, I was going to start the community garden before I knew about this project. And this project or this competition really, like, jumps, you know, it made me want to do it even more. I'm actually going to start at Cole Park. It's going to be called the Chatham Community Wellness Garden. And I wanted to come to this. I wanted to participate in this program because I was like, well, you know, I've never been a part of a community garden. They don't really have a lot of those, especially where I live at. So I thought, man, this would be perfect if I would be able to learn from a professional and also, you know, get some ideas of how I can work out my own thing. And I wanted to start a community garden because I used to work at a restaurant. I used to work at Charlie Trotter's. And everything was fresh. And I was just like, man, you know, after eating, you know, fresh fruit every day that I can see being picked, you know, or I know was, you know, picked the day before. It was just kind of like, man, I need to, you know, tell my neighborhood and my people about this because so many people are going to canned foods and processed foods and, you know, McDonald's just because it's so convenient, but really it's not doing anything for their body.
I should mention that the contest, of course, was sponsored by CETA,
yeah.
and in partnership with True Star Foundation and the Gary Comer Youth Center. Now, Jose, are the three of you going to be on True Star Radio tonight, too?
I don't even know.
You don't know? They didn't ask you?
No.
Jose, tell me about putting your essay together. And what is it about Carver Military Academy that produces two winners on this? They must really emphasize English and writing over at the academy.
Yeah, it's a requirement to graduate.
Well, you know, it's a requirement to graduate anywhere. But you know, why do you think it is that you and Celeste were able to be two of the contest winners?
Maybe because they only accept greatness in the school.
They only accept what? I'm sorry?
Greatness.
Oh, greatness.
Well, that's why they got two winners.
That's right. Now, are you much of a gardener yourself now, Jose?
No, not really.
So you're planning to learn here, eh?
Yes.
And you know that we're going to be putting a garden together near the Gary Comer Youth Center. I'm going to be helping out with that. I hope I see all three of you there and that we work together getting that garden going. I know it's kind of You know, it's a little bit of a late start. Tomorrow's the first day of summer, so we'll have to get rocking on that. But I know that's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. So what would you like to grow, Jose? Do you have any idea?
Jalapenos.
Yes.
Good.
We got some growing outside here.
Yeah, we do.
In our earth boxes
yes,
here.
We do.
Yeah. Well, also, just a great essay, Jose, and a great job there. Let's go to Celeste Campos, also from Carver Military. What's your background in gardening? Do you have any experience, Celeste?
Yes, I actually help around sometimes.
In whose garden?
My own garden. I plant flowers, corn, tomatoes.
So you grow corn, huh? Have you've grown corn in the past?
Yeah.
How successful have you been with that?
It was actually really successful. It didn't take that long for it to grow, so.
And was it the super sweet corn?
No, it was actually a regular corn, just regular. Well, yeah, it wasn't sweet. It was just okay.
Well, I mean, the reason people love corn on the cob, too, is because it tastes so good. And all vegetables taste better when they're fresh. So are you guys eager to get digging in the dirt? Who anybody, just jump up and talk to me.
Most definitely. I'm ready.
And have they, that's Taylor, of course, right?
Yes.
Okay. Have they gotten you your prizes for this, or when did you find out that you were winners?
About a week ago.
Okay. So you get to go to a White Sox game, which is probably good because they're playing a little bit better than the Cubs right now. Yeah, yeah. If you're going to go see a team in town right now, I think it should be the White Sox. You know, I'm looking forward to working with all of you in the garden at the near Gary Comer Youth Center. I want to thank CETA and True Star Foundation. And, Jose, I do believe you're probably – somebody may call you and say you're going to be on True Star Radio tonight. Because that was kind of the deal.
That was part of the contest, I believe.
Yeah, I was there a few weeks ago, broadcasting from there out of Hammond. 92.3?
Yeah, 92.3.
92. The, what are they, what's?
Power 92.
Power 92, that's mm-hmm. it. Power 92.
Yep.
Again, congratulations to all of you. I will see you in the garden. We'll take pictures. We will make things grow. We'll do our best anyway, right?
Hey, yes.
All right, Taylor, you get back to church.
Okay.
Jose, you go back to sleep. Celeste, I don't know what you were doing, but whatever it is, you can get back to it. Thank you. Thank you, all three of you, for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
So there you have it.
Yep, that's awesome. No, they didn't do cool essay contests like that when I was in school. We got Snickers bars if we got lucky.
That's the best you can
yeah.
do. They even the ones who didn't win the essays, they were very good.
Yeah,
I was very very impressed with them. So
well, nice to see them pushing that in schools these days too, like being conscientious of the soil and the natural elements and biology of the planet
and an educated future. Little disturbing, and this is why we're doing this. A little disturbing was reading some of the essays, and some of the kids would write, "Well, there's nothing in my neighborhood. If you know, the best we got is the Walgreens. Or if you drive 4 miles, you can go to the supermarket or something, and it's not a good thing in a lot of neighborhoods.
That's my hat's off to CETA because I love seeing these abandoned lots being used and turned into something natural and good, you know, instead of like just a fodder for rats to burrow and, you know, broken glass to consume, you know, just build up. It's nice to see them take these weed lots and turn them into gardens.
But the way it's got to happen is the community has to start it. It's if you don't have the support of the community at the beginning, you're not going to have a community garden.
Right. And if someone wants to start a community garden, do they just get in touch with CETA? How would one start one?
Well, there's various ways you can do that. I know Openlands is I took a short course from Openlands earlier in the year about getting community gardens started. You could go to NeighborSpace has get NeighborSpace and get the website so I can remember whether it's .org or .com, probably .org. NeighborSpace is a good place to start. Let's see. Have you got that? Why didn't it come up?
I was going to, because I did four
W's. You did four W's instead of three W's. Just type NeighborSpace. And it's one word. There it is.
Neighbor-space.org.
Okay. Neighbor-space.org is that's a good place to start. There is the...
Yeah, there's a whole application process that you can go through on
right,
the site.
Right, where you can become a site. And the big question is often, is it privately owned land or is it city-owned land? If it's city-owned land, more and more the city is getting behind that. Contact your alderman if you're interested in that.
If you want recycling a community garden.
Yeah, exactly. You'll get maybe a community garden.
Hey, one's better than none.
But like LaManda Joy up at the Peterson Project at Peterson and Campbell, I think that's privately owned, but she's working with the city and hoping that perhaps the lot can get turned over to them at some point. But you have to have the community behind it, and you got to make sure that people are going to stick with it. You can plant a garden, and then it can go into neglect as well, if you can't keep people around. And I'll tell you what, in just a second, let's talk about our garden outside, because you've been taking care of it.
Yes,
and then we got to get Leah back.
So you're slowly going to turn me into a gardener, Mike Novak.
Yep.
And it's awesome, yet a little frightening.
Nah.
Well, for years I've killed plants, and now I've got three of them thriving in my house, and it still seems foreign to me.
You backed off on the water for the peace lily.
You told me
to
stop. I was killing it with kindness, how you put it.
I
wanted it to live so bad, I was killing it.
You know, overwatering is the chief cause of plant death indoors.
That's what Chris Pesci, when we were at Pesci's, he asked me, he goes, you got to take some flowers with you at the end of the day. And I was like, oh my goodness, thank you. He's like, but I go, you might not want to. And he's like, why? I'm like, my track record with plants is fairly poor.
What you're going to discover after a while, if you grow plants, is that that indoor watering thing, you do learn to back off. And I'm looking at the plant. I came in today because when I was here a few days ago, it looked horrible.
Yeah.
And now it looks much happier.
Yep, and that mine I've been taking outside. One of them I don't water at all. It's an aloe plant.
Exactly.
I don't water it
basically,
at all.
I mean, you will water it at some point, but not right
now. Like what, twice a year?
I know people who do that, and they survive. So, so let's get Leah back because she's at the farmer's market in Beverly. Can you believe the summer is here already? But you can still pick up a copy of the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine at a full 98 pages. It's one of the best gardening bargains you'll find anywhere for Zone 5 gardeners. This is garden walk season, and you're not going to find a more comprehensive list of garden walks and events than the one in Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Then there are the articles filled with photos and tips and plain old inspiration, like the one about the Southwest suburban woman whose arthritis forced her to change her gardening style from in-ground to containers, and how she did it brilliantly. By the way, my column is at the back of the magazine, all the way on page 98. Was it something I wrote? I don't know. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is on newsstands all over the area, but I advise you to subscribe and have it delivered to your home. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
If you're a smart gardener, you think about the nutrients and chemicals you add to our water tables. That's why you need to call on the doctor, Dr. Earth. Dr. Earth organic fertilizers contain only water-insoluble forms of phosphorus. Phosphorus is one of the leading causes of algae blooms in our waterways. When you apply Dr. Earth fertilizers, the phosphorus stays in the soil and doesn't leach into the water supply. In addition, Dr. Earth contains probiotic beneficial soil microbes and mycorrhizae. Dr. Earth is available only at your local independent garden center. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you.
You who are on the road must have a code that you can live by. And so,
and Leah Petrusiak is on the road. She's on the south side at Beverly Farmers Market. How you doing, Leah?
It's all good. It's spitting a little bit here, raining a little bit, but don't let that keep you from coming down. We have tents. And I was just talking to this one guy. I guess this is what, the third or fourth weekend in a row that it's rained for these farmers markets, these poor guys. But
yeah,
yeah, it's not too bad. So people are still here. A couple people have umbrellas.
Well, you
nice
know,
out.
Given the rain we've had lately, it's not surprising that a few farmers markets have gotten rained on. I went to, if you go to the homepage, mikenowak.net, MikeNowak.net, we went to the Green City Market yesterday. And I got lots of pictures up there about how much fun that was. And that was, you know, the day after the big storm. I was surprised it wasn't muddier. It was actually pretty nice. And lots of people there, lots of goodies, farmers markets all over the city. And so we were talking, Leah, you and I. And by the way, thank you, Kathleen, for putting the slideshow up of the Green City Market there in Lincoln Park. But you and I were talking earlier, Leah, about the salsa recipes. Now, are you going to put me in touch with somebody who's over there?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, he's not probably going to give away specific, but I think he's going to give us some guidelines for some salsa making. This is Enrique from Salsas Vallarta, and he's got about 7 different kinds out here, so I'm going to hand the phone over to him if that's okay.
Go ahead.
And he's going to tell us all the different things that you can include and maybe some good processes, too. Here you go.
Enrique.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks a lot.
So are you the salsa king?
Exactly. You got it. You got it, buddy.
What do you think? All right, you don't have to give away your trade secrets, but give me some of the ways that you can make a good salsa.
Good salsa. You know what? My best secret that I have for you is I'm going to tell you no charge, all right? You can use the same ingredients, but when you change the process, you will have different flavors. I'm going to tell you something. You can use raw tomato, and you will have one flavor. But if you roast the tomato, you will have another flavor.
Ah.
You follow me? That one is a big secret if you want to make salsa. The ingredients is regular ingredients. I'm talking about tomato, onions, garlic, salt, the pepper that you like. I like to use habanero pepper because it's a really loyalty pepper. The serrano pepper is not to consistency. I try to say sometimes it's spicy, sometimes not, something like that. Jalapeno pepper is really consistency. Everything depends. If you like a roasted vegetables, you will have a really good salsa, or maybe you can use only raw vegetables. Different flavors.
Yeah, yeah. What's the oddest thing you've ever put into a salsa?
Okay, my main ingredient is tomato. And I like to use a lot of garlic, cilantro.
But what do you, Enrique? What have you put into a salsa that people would not expect?
You know what? I don't have nothing special like that.
Oh.
I'm using regular products. I mean, all natural products. But like I told you before, it's changing the process. I will have a different taste, different flavors.
So you've got about
regular? It's the regular salsa. I mean, it's not fancy. It's not a big secret.
Uh-huh.
It's just the regular salsa, you know.
Yeah. How many different salsas do you have there?
Okay, now we have 7 different salsas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about salsa tomatillo. It's medium. But one of my goals, and I want to tell you, is I want to give you a salsa that you can eat with tortilla chip. But my goal is to give you an ingredient. Now I'm telling you about salsa tomatillo. You can, if you like tilapia fish or chicken breast, you can use that salsa like a marinade sauce.
Really?
If you put it in the oven for 20 minutes, the salsa, fish is going to be really good. I'm making salsa mexicana. You know pico de gallo?
Pico de gallo, yes.
Exactly. Okay. Pico de gallo, I have my own recipe, and I'm using lime and orange juice. If you like seafood, you can fry the seafood with garlic, mix it up with salsa mexicana, and you will have a really good cocktail. That one is my goal. My goal is to
awesome.
Give you a salsa and to give you an ingredient for your food.
That's interesting.
Something different. You know?
Yeah. You know, I had tilapia just last night. So next time, I think I got a...
Salsa tomatillo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Salsa tomatillo.
Exactly. That salsa, I'm using roasted serrano pepper, garlic, tomatillo, sea salt, onions, and cilantro.
He's making me so hungry.
It's really good. It's really good, eh?
It sounds really good.
But that one is my goal. My goal is to give you an ingredient, to give you a salsa, but to give you an ingredient for your food.
How long have you been at the farmer's market, Enrique?
Farmer's market, okay. That one is my third year.
Uh-huh.
I have 3 years already in farmer's market. I have in food industry around 13 years.
Uh-huh.
And the farmer's market is a really good place to know the customer opinions. When I'm making a product, I like to see and listen different opinions for my customers, and the customer is helping me to make a better product. That one is the goal for farmer's market for me.
Yeah. Despite getting rained on the last few weeks, how's business been?
You know what? It's a little bit difficult, but even though we have rain, we have customers. The people like to come to farmer's market.
And so do the dogs, I can hear, yeah.
Oh, yes. A lot of people here with doggies and a lot of kids, and it's really funny to come to farmer's market. You will find a lot of different products here, all natural.
Well, Enrique, I want to thank you for your time, and I tell you what, you got to make Leah buy one of those salsas so that I can use it for my tilapia.
Of course, will be a pleasure. Of course.
Sell her the one that's the best for the tilapia recipe, and then I'll use it and give you a report.
All right, will be nice. I'm gonna send you a tomatillo salsa.
Okay.
Thank you, Enrique. You have a great day. Happy Father's Day to you if you're a dad.
You know what? My son is working with me today, and I received yesterday a couple presents from my family, and I'm really happy.
Well, good.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad your son's working with you, and you have a wonderful Father's Day, Enrique.
All right. Thanks a lot, eh?
All right. Let me talk to Leah.
Yes. Bye-bye.
That sounds... I'm, like, starving now. That sounded amazingly
good.
Yeah,
it sounds like a great recipe. Did you hear that, Leah?
Yeah.
And, you know, you're bringing back salsa.
Yeah, now you're stuck bringing back salsa to us, woman.
the salsa queen reporter.
So what else you've been doing out there?
You know what? I'm trying to find the farmer here from Blankenship Farms from Eau Claire, Michigan. This is actually the only farmer's market that they do here. And I had one customer lady come by, and she's like, oh, I came for the strawberries. But the storm, talk about how the storm affects farmers. He talked about the rain came down so hard that it actually sliced a lot of the ripe berries and just, like, smushed them, like, on the ground, like the whole crop.
Wow.
The whole crop was wiped out, and so he doesn't have any strawberries here. He does have a handful of cherries, but he was also saying the winds were so bad. The cherries were hanging on the tree, and they would get whipped around, and a lot of them just got so bruised that they had to pitch them. And so that was actually kind of fascinating. But Blankenship Farms is here, and I don't see the farmer now, but he was saying this was the only one that he was able to get too. And but that was really interesting. They have some here he is now. And they have some great great cherry tomato plants, and it's really great. Anyways, hi, would you mind talking to us a little bit about the crop that you guys have here and how the storm ended up affecting you guys with your crop and stuff?
Basically
Yeah, talk on the phone?
Yeah. It's radio a go-go.
Damage with the strawberries and a few early plants that we put in the field that we had just planted got beat down by the heavy rain.
Wow. Now, I didn't realize that strawberries were that vulnerable. What's your name, by the way, sir?
Blankenship. Blankenship Farms.
All right. And do you have a first name?
Don.
Okay, Don. I didn't realize that strawberries were that vulnerable to that kind of weather. So how much of the crop did you lose?
Well, I really didn't lose that much because it was going to be the last scheduled picking anyway. But I probably only lost about anywhere 20 to 25 flats at the most.
20 to 25 flats?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a lot to me. Maybe it's not a lot to you.
No, it's not much. It's really, like I said, it was the last scheduled picking. We usually get about 40, 50 flats out of there at a picking, but this time it was going to be the end of them. So,
well, what's your best looking crop right now? What do you like?
Well, right now the apples look good, peaches look good. Too early to tell about the tomatoes and the peppers. They're just coming on yet. We don't know how well, but I'm expecting everything to be fine.
Well, where are the apples and the peaches coming from? Isn't it apples and peaches? Isn't it a little early in the season for those?
Oh, I'm not sure yet, but the crop looks good. You asked me how the crop looks.
Oh, I see. Okay, I thought, whoa, that's...
We don't have any apples or peaches yet.
So you're having a good apple and peach season so far, huh?
We will have when they get ripe. I said the crop looks good.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have any ripe yet.
Oh, no, I understand that now. I was a little confused at first, but so I'm glad to hear that. I'm happy that we're going to have a good apple and peach here.
Right, on most varieties. There are a few varieties of the early variety that did get a little frost damage early in the spring. But that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, well, of course it is. You're sort of at the mercy of various conditions. What in the weather could change that crop from being a good one to a poor one at this point?
A hailstorm or a long extended drought, almost any natural catastrophe could wind up costing you a lot of money.
Yeah.
Hailstorm would be the worst thing that could happen right now, or a tornado.
Which is not going to happen, right?
I hope not.
I hope not. Well, Don Blankenship, thank you so much for the report on the crop. I'm glad things are looking good, and thank you for being at the market and bringing your wares to Chicago.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to Leah. Thank you.
Leah. She's got some delicious cherries here.
Well, it sounds like you're having a good time. I'm going to let you go. Bring back some salsa for me, and in another week, we may send you out to another market. In fact,
we got to send her earlier so she can bring food back here so we can eat because I'm hungry now.
And if people want Leah to come to their market, just send me an email, mike@mikenovak.net, and we'll send you out to another market. And try not to get bitten by that little dog.
All right, there's like three of them.
You don't sound too thrilled about that.
No, they're going away now. No, okay.
All right, Leah, take care now. I'll talk to you later.
Tell your dad I said happy Father's Day.
I will, yours too.
Okay.
Bye.
They're buds.
Yeah, we are.
You guys know each other for a while. All right. Let me remind folks that on my homepage of my website, mikenovak.net, I got lists of... Chicago's farmers markets, different links that you can go to and find out where to go in your community to get fresh produce. You know, there's nothing like it, and it's really fun to go to a market like
it
that.
It is. I love it for two reasons, especially when I bring my son. There's one by us that always has live bluegrass that they set up in a tent, and they, you know, have this great bluegrass jam session, and then they have another group of, like, these African-American, like, but they know African rhythm and instruments. So they have all sorts of drums and stuff, but they have homemade ones, too, where they put, like, you know, the marbles in the old Pringles can and duct tape it shut so the kids... But they do, so the kids can do percussion while they play, mm-hmm. and it's so fun. And so that there's that, not only the fresh food and fresh goods, but sometimes it's, like, your own international, like, play date, because you get all these different sort of you know, cultures and how they, and the, you know, the canned preserves and stuff and how they, like the salsa guy, you can get the salsa guy and then you can get the Asian guy with the pea pods and the, you know, and they've got all these different recipes and different, you know, vegetables that normally, you know, you wouldn't know how to cook them or what to do with them. And at the farmer's market, you get it straight from the source. So not only are you getting the good produce, but you're getting the knowledge as well, which Jewel cannot give you.
That's true. Jewel can't tell you
nor Dominic's
that the apple crop looks good this
right.
year. It's doing well so far, and they didn't lose too many strawberries. You're not going to get any.
No,
of
you're
that.
Not going to get that.
I mean,
from them.
And that's that whole point of talking to your farmer. If you can talk to your farmer,
yeah.
you do learn a lot,
yeah.
and you get a better sense of
it. If they can grow
what...
it, I assure you, they can eat it. So if you want to know a good way to eat it, ask.
Well, Lenny's out there. We should drag him in.
Okay, I'll go fetch him.
Okay. And SIDS announces their big tree event going on now through June 26. Right now is the time to choose from the season's best selection of trees and shrubs. Most are 20% off. Plus, SIDS is offering free local delivery of tree purchases of $200 and up. That's a $50 value. SIDS Nursery is well-stocked with Japanese maples, flowering crabs, dwarf lilacs, plus locust maples, lindens, and more. And these are not the scrawny trees you may have seen elsewhere. Oh, no. SIDS stocks 2- and 3-inch trunk diameter trees that'll look like they've been there for years. And once you plant that new tree, you'll be all set for a barbecue in the glorious shade it offers. So while you're there, check out SIDS' great selection of Weber one-touch charcoal grills, now on sale. Plus, you'll get a free bag of Cowboy Hardwood Lump Charcoal with every purchase now through June 27th. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard and on the web at SIDSonline.com. If you're looking to try out a fish fertilizer, and there's a lot of good products, this is a really good product. Swim your way down the aisle and pick up some Grotone from Espoma. Grotone is an organic liquid plant food that is derived from farm-raised catfish that have been fed strict diet of grains, minerals, and vitamins. This controlled environment makes Espoma's Grotone different from other products on the market, which are often made from whatever the catch of the day happens to be, so you can count on consistency in every bottle of Grotone. Grotone is part of the Tone product family from Espoma, promotes bigger blooms, and can be used on both indoor and outdoor plants. It won't burn leaves or roots. It won't clog drip systems or sprayers. And it smells minty. Minty fresh. Not fishy. Gotta like that. For more information about Grotone and other Espoma products such as Tomato Tone, Flower Tone, and others, call 888-ESPOMA1 or go online to espoma.com, ESPOMA.com, where you can join the Espoma Garden Club to receive tips by email and even watch a video about the company's 80-plus year history in the organic field. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. No. Not going to do that. No.
That's the gremlin.
Yeah. No.
The gremlin.
It bit me.
I saw it. It bit you in the hand and then used its tail to put your wrist down.
Yep.
And then ran over to the board and started hitting things. Till I used a rubber band like slingshot.
And now it's jumping up and down on the board. So we're going to have to get Mr. Sanders in here to reset that as well. And what I was going to do was play this because I don't even know this song.
You don't know this song?
I don't think I do.
I'm a child of the 80s. This is like my fifth grade jam.
I didn't listen to music at all in the 80s, basically.
Well, you weren't too far off.
Does this go anywhere?
Yeah, it does.
Oh. Okay.
Repopularized a few years ago by Kelly Osbourne, but not nearly as good as the original Madonna version.
Okay.
Yeah. It's coming. It's the 80s. They have synthesizers, you know, instead of violins.
I know it.
There it is. Do you know, what was the actor's name? Danny Aiello played her father in the video. The Italian actor who's been in all the mob movies. Is that his name, Danny Aiello? I gotta find it now.
Yeah, now you have.
But
to
yeah, that was
that
the coolest thing about that song, in my opinion, was that this big actor played her dad in the video. So I'm going to YouTube right now.
check it out.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to thank a few people, namely Pesci's Garden Center and Sid's Garden Centers and Dr. Earth for the farm we have going on the side of WCPT here between Zaca Tacos and Paco's Tacos.
We do. We have a small...
We've got our little garden in the parking lot. We've got our earth boxes. And thanks to those donations, we are growing tomatoes and peppers. We've got some zucchini. We got...
cucumbers.
Cucumbers.
Green peppers, bell peppers.
Yeah.
Which are the same thing.
We have some jalapenos mm-hmm. out there as well. Like six different types of tomatoes. And we're going to see how it goes. We're now, Heather, you've been taking care of this.
Yes, I have.
Again,
I have.
Because nobody else here will.
Well, I'm your producer. I think they just assumed I'd do it. You know, she works with the gardening guy. She'll do it.
Yeah, in addition to everything else they have you doing here. You go out to water. The thing about an earth box that's great is you just fill up the reservoir every day. And do you do it every day?
Yeah. Give
me a report. How much water have they been taking?
Well, the first day or two, you know, I had to fill the reservoir almost the whole way up. But the last couple of times, because of all the rain, you know, I just put a little trickle in there. And how you know it's full is that there's a spillway and, you know, it starts to spill out underneath.
Right. So you can't overwater.
You can't do it. So these are like perfect for me because I can't kill these plants even with the best intentions.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the actor. What's his name?
I think you were right.
Danny Aiello, I believe. Yeah. He plays the father in that video. Okay. That's my pop. I'm done with that. But no, the earth boxes, the thing that took me off too with the plastic that goes over the top.
The question everybody asks about earth boxes, what's the plastic for? Because you cover the container with plastic. And the plastic does several things. It prevents weeds, seeds from getting into the mix. It serves to keep water from evaporating too fast, and it draws heat because it's black plastic, so it sucks the heat into it. So it's really good for all kinds of crops.
Yeah. See, that was the only – I was like – because you'd think somehow it would be detrimental to the plant, like suffocate it in some way, but it actually is beneficial, which is, again, why I hang out with Mike Novak, because I learn these things. He was cutting it with the scissors. I'm like, what are you doing?
I've done
and
it
we
before.
We were getting rained on. We were in the
That's
mud.
That's right.
And the
you
cold
know what?
Rain.
I still don't have those pictures. I'm going to put the pictures up online, and I'm going to show the garden as it progresses.
Yes.
But the first day, we were getting drenched because you and I were the only people that would go out there and plant the darn things.
Yes, in the rain, and
all these people said, let's put a garden out there. Well, are you going to come out and help me plant it? No. Okay,
they'll post
thanks.
Her pictures when it's all in
bloom
and we have a really
guy.
Beautiful salad in front of us.
I'm not letting them eat anything. Nobody gets any of that stuff because that's mine now. You and I, Heather, we're going to harvest.
You're just going to eat in front of them. And
the other thing that's cool that I've been doing lately is, I'm growing stuff in my own yard at home, but Kathleen and I got a CSA share from Growing Home. And we've been picking it up the last couple of weeks at the Green City Market and splitting it with a couple of friends of ours. And, in fact, I brought some today because on the way home I'm going to drop some of that off. And they've been giving us the coolest veggies. We got I don't even remember the name of all of them, and Kathleen would remember that. But, you know, we got some Swiss chard, and we got some broccoli, and we got lettuces, and we got spinach, and a couple of things that I don't even know what they are. And that's what you do. You get these things, and then you learn how to cook them.
Right. Well,
because you don't want it to go to waste.
Again, the benefit of getting it from the grower.
So this is, again, a great reason to have a CSA. In the studio, completely unrelated to growing food, is Lenny Kazlauskas, sometimes known as Lenny Kaz. How are you, Lenny?
I'm doing well, Mike and Heather. How are you guys? Good to see you.
Good to see you. He's from Artesia Home Visions, of course, one of the great sponsors of the Ultimate Backyard Makeover, which we're going to announce the winners in just a few minutes. Not on this show,
no,
but when we get to Mighty House, when Ron Cowgill and Joe Builder come in here, we're going to announce the winner. Now, did you look at all those pictures, Lenny?
You know what? I have not seen the pictures yet, no.
Okay.
There's some doozies.
Yeah,
are there?
And whichever contestant wins, there's going to be some work. So what your competition or your business do? What will be your part of the makeover?
We are providing, I believe, we're providing it's a backdoor patio or backyard patio set in which we're going to apply a finish to the top of it. The finish is known as Artistone. It's a countertop resurfacing product, or tabletops, furniture, anything that's horizontal and solid we can top.
So you guys are like the grace notes to all of this. You know, there's a lot of people going to be doing heavy lifting. I mean, we got the Schwacke Stone Company in there, and a Hardscape Design, and Unilock's going to be there, and Northwind Perennial Farm with plants, and Sage Advice with design, and Marvin Design, and Earth, Wind, and Solar Energy. And then Artesia comes and goes, let's put the little finishing touches on it.
Yeah, we'll help try to beautify just a little bit, since we're not going to be digging any holes.
I know, but that's kind of what you do, isn't it?
It really is. We're a coatings company. We do everything from interior-exterior coatings all the way up to boutique remodels. And a lot of it, a lot of our business right now is a product called Armorex. It is an exterior lifetime coating in which most people out there don't know that there's actually coatings out there that do last. You know, with Sherwin-Williams systems and Benjamin Moore systems and things like that, just regular paint, people are not aware that there's other systems. There's actual architectural coatings that do last for 25, 30 years.
And you mean to paint the exterior of your home?
Of your home. Any substrate you have, drive-it, stucco, cedar, of course, wood, really any. I mean, it could be over aluminum, it could be over vinyl. This system is a three-coat system.
What's the advantage of painting over aluminum or vinyl?
Okay, aluminum is famous for chalking. Over time, the actual surface, the color on the siding starts to chalk, literally. I mean, it looks like there's a coat of chalk on that, mm-hmm. on the exterior of the side. So when you touch it, you can feel it. It dulls down really badly. Or another reason is you just don't like the color. If you have aluminum, obviously it's going to last for quite some time, but you want to change the color. You want to renew it. You want to do a different, you know, scheme, whatever you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. You can recoat it. The same thing with vinyl, however.
I always thought the vinyl was supposed to go forever and just...
It does, and the main reason you'd want to coat vinyl is probably just color change. So if you wanted to change it,
so you do have that flexibility,
yep.
with your coating, and it'll last 25 years. Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, The technology is actually not new. It's been around for quite some time. It's all low VOC, very green. I tell people all the time, you got to think of it this way. They're not recoating commercial structures, large commercial structures, or bridges, or you know, high rises every 3 to 5 years, like we're painting our home. They're not doing it. They you know, they're using architectural type coatings. The Armorex is actually 12 times thicker than paint. The dry film thickness, maybe a little too technical here, but the dry film thickness of regular stain and paint is maybe 2, maybe 3 mils. The Armorex system is about 12 mils dried.
Whoa.
So it's very, very thick, which provides excellent abrasion resistance. So, it goes on in a 3-part system. It's primer and then mid coat and then top coat. Everything is sprayed. When it gets done, I mean, it's got just unbelievable flexibility for stretching or gapping, stretching gaps, I should say. So if there's we go down and we caulk all the gaps in the siding and the wood, anywhere that needs to be caulked with another really good product that's called Big Stretch Caulk, which, I mean, the stuff's unbelievable. And then we apply the coating, and it can really flex. And it can move with the wood and the structure, and it breathes. It's got a very good perm rating, up there with any good coating.
I'm thinking of my own house, mm-hmm. which we repainted just a few years ago. And this, you know, maybe next time it's to go with this. But the question I would ask is cost factor. Mm-hmm. How does that compare to paint?
Right off the bat, it's roughly 2 to 2.5 times whatever the cost of your painting your home is. So if you're going to be in your home for quite a while, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
The process is
because you don't want to. It's such labor intensive, and we had some issues because mm-hmm. We had some. Workers were not as careful as they should have been,
right.
So we got some dripping that I'd rather not have there.
Exactly.
But and those things happen.
Yeah.
All in all, it looks great, but there were issues along the mm-hmm. way, and it wasn't as smooth as I would have liked.
Right, but the main issue is you're gonna have to do it again in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You know, we're trying to get rid of that. With paint, there's built-in obsolescence. It's just that's how it's got to be. You know, these large painting companies are not selling paint. You know, they're in the business of selling you paint. The only mm-hmm. way to do that is that you have to do it every 3 to 5 years. With this product, you do not have to. Once you do it, you're done for 25, 30 years. I mean, we give you a lifetime warranty. It's not just paint either. So if something goes wrong, we're not coming out there and giving you, you know, 2-3 gallons of paint. We are actually performing the labor to bring it back to what it was or whatever the contract was. Mm-hmm. We'll provide all that for you. And well, I was gonna. There was another point I was gonna make just a second ago.
When you're on my show, things fly out of your head. I don't know if you realize that. That's the way it works here. It's catching, isn't it?
Well, it's you.
It is me. All right.
It's great for historical structures, things like that.
Hang on there for a second. That's Lenny Keselowskis from Artesia Home Visions. The link is on my website and MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. I've got, in fact, the list of all of our sponsors, including Galaxy Construction Company. They were the lead sponsor of the Ultimate Backyard Makeover, and Artesia's up there along with all the others, and we're going to announce the winner of the contest in just a few minutes on the Mighty House show. We got lots of votes online. I have no idea who won. I guess Ron does. So
he's got this. The briefcase chained to his wrist.
No, that was something else. He accidentally.
Oh, that was Joe Builder. Never mind.
I think he just accidentally chained himself to his briefcase. We don't know why. Here's Dr. Wally's tip of the week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Now, Wally, as you know, he's not a certified doctor, but I'm not a certified anything. So there you go. Dr. Wally tells me that you were actually paying attention last week when I told you about his earwig trick. That's scary when people go in there and they go, oh, we heard about the earwig thing. So he's got another one for you this week, and this is really important. If you're thinking about applying pesticides, even if they're organic, you need to consider some things. The first is that, especially if the product is oil-based, never apply on a really hot day. You're just asking to burn your plants. Here's another tip. Make sure your plants are hydrated before you do any spraying. And that doesn't mean watering them 10 minutes before you do the application. Finally, did you know that some lawn herbicides can vaporize in the heat? That's not good for you or your plants if it gasses off. That's the kind of great information you're going to get from Pesci's, family owned since 1924. And by the way, if you have a question about that, go in and talk to Dr. Wally over at Pesci's. He knows his stuff. Pesci's is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road, one block north of Rand Road in Des Plaines. Visit them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
Here's an invitation from the Care of Trees. One of America's great bicycle events is coming to Chicago, and I'm going to be part of it. The 2010 Stihl Tour de Trees, and that's STIHL. You know, the guys that make the chainsaws and other outdoor equipment. The Stihl Tour de Trees kicks off from Chicago's Millennium Park on Sunday morning, July 18th, with a special broadcast of the Mike Novak Show, sponsored in part by the Care of Trees. I will be the MC for the event as dozens of cyclists head out from the park on a 6-day trip to the Mississippi River and back to raise money for tree research and education. Now, do you know who my special guest is going to be, Heather? Are you aware of this?
No.
Rolling Stones keyboardist and world-class tree farmer Chuck Lavelle. Her jaw just hit the... Did you hear that thing go... Boom? That was Heather. Yeah.
Wait, we got a rock and roll gardener outside of you?
Outside of me, a rock and
roll
gardener.
Hell yeah!
And in the coming week... And in the coming weeks, I'll be giving away 2 pairs of tickets to the Lavelle benefit performance at the Omni Chicago Hotel on July 17th. It's an intimate evening with Chuck Lavelle, yes?
Speaking of tickets, just real brief, we got those Clapton tickets donated and mailed off to the Old Town School of Folk Music, where they went to the scholarship recipient, and they were going to be on the show next week and tell us all about the concert.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because that's next Saturday. I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, you said the word ticket.
Yes. So come to Millennium Park. You're going to be there, Heather, I do believe.
Yes.
Producing the show. That's Sunday, July 18th for the Tour de Trees kickoff and celebration. And I typed 19th, but it's the 18th. And by the way, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. They're a great sponsor, and I'm glad they're one of the key sponsors of this special broadcast from Millennium Park on July 18th. I hope you can join us down there. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. Well, Lenny, you're going to hang around and talk to Ron and Joe, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm actually going to sit in with Ron for a little while, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's called the Double Dip.
The Double Dip, buddy.
The Double Dip, buddy. I'm glad you came down here.
Well, thanks.
And thank you so much for being part of the contest and being a sponsor of it.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
And it sounds like you have a great product, and I got a feeling when I start to repaint my house.
Mm-hmm. Give us a call.
It's still looking good, so but yeah. You know how that is.
Right.
I'm not looking forward to it. All right, the winner of the Ultimate Backyard Makeover coming up next on Mighty House. Ron Cowgill, as you said, with the suitcase chained to his wrist, is standing by. I hope you join us again next week at 8 a.m. for the Mike Novak Show. Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there.
Happy Father's Day, dads.